You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Side B, we want to talk about 2016 predictions. And we could just start with something that is rumored to be happening soon, speaking of J. Cole and Kendrick. But there's reportedly a, what, I don't know if it'll be a mixtape, an album. Is this actually happening? Anybody know? Armand's got his ear to the streets.
The Twitterverse.
To me, like, the biggest question about them being on records together is, like, I hope J. Cole has been, like, saving up.
Yeah, it's done for him. That would be not wise of him to do, I don't think.
Because, like,
I must be I'm the only guy who thought that his Black Friday verse was better than Kendrick's. Kendrick was like hot sauce. He was just dribbling and, like, did not pass the ball for 4 minutes. But J. Cole was actually, like, rapping and saying stuff. I'm the only person in the world who thinks that, and I'm fine.
Are you okay? No, I wasn't crazy about either of those, like, either of those Black Friday drops, honestly. Like, I thought they were okay, but I didn't like J. Cole on All Right. I would have given, I would have preferred him over his voice would sound better over a Blackberry than that live instrumentation of All Right or some other track or whatever. So I didn't like that part of that. And then Kendrick, I mean, yeah, Kendrick, you know, that vine of, like, the cat who's, like, dribbling through his legs repeatedly, like around, it's like in a gym and he's just like, boom, boom. And there's, like, someone puts it up there and is like, this is New York playing basketball. Like, these are New York playing
basketball. Oh, my God. Yo, side note, that New York down south slander, Sunday morning, I was in church, like, crying, laughing. That was amazing.
That was an amazing time in life. But nonetheless, that's the way I felt about Kendrick, those Black Friday joints. But yeah, Doc, you were saying, though, that what are your concerns about that them coming together for a project?
I'm really just concerned about how many edits I'm going to have to make an audition to snip out J. Cole. No. Look, J. Cole's stuff puts me to sleep, kind of. Like, he's a very sleepy artist. So,
Erykah Badu.
I have no... God, her mixtape was so bad. I have... I know. Armand, couldn't believe I said that. I'm interested to hear how they mix, like, considering where they're at now with their sounds. Like, almost more interesting to me than... I mean, so on one issue, yes, can J. Cole, like, sort of rise to the level of Kendrick, but what types of beats are they going to be rapping over? That's actually kind of interesting.
Hopefully Soundwave and TDE were like, hopefully they just came in with, like, a briefcase that just folded out a whole bunch of just beats that just, like, folded out into a whole studio, and J. Cole, like, pressed one button on, or, like, one key, and they were like, nope, sit down.
Right. J. Cole thinks he's, like, tapping out beats on drums on the MPC, but they've unplugged the MPC. Like, you know,
so it's like when you give, like, your 3-year-old nephew the controller, he thinks he's playing Madden with you.
You give your 3-year-old the fake cell phone, and they're, like, tapping on it. Oh, yeah, I'm making a call. Oh, hey,
you're like, hello.
My concern is
that's terrible. We're terrible people.
Is content-wise, man. Like, what for me? J. Cole talks about Jay-Z. He talks about why he wants to respect women but can't. Then he talks about Jay-Z being somebody else's kind of women, and it's just like the same content over and over again, man. I'm like, bro, quit crying, man.
Why I try to respect women but can't?
That's like 1,000% true. Yeah. That's a great articulation.
Pretty accurate.
You know, I mean, I'm not always right, but I think sometimes, like, I think. Yeah. It's just like, what is it going to be about, man? Is it going to be about social justice? Is it going to be about We Shall Overcome? Say his name, Oscar Grant. Like, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? For it to be, you know, I don't know, pertinent, man, or important, or good.
I hope they give us something that sounds like What a Time to Be Alive. I think that would just be a fantastic troll job. Yeah. No? Nobody?
I finally don't even hang. What's crazy, though, is I would think here, I mean, to your point, right, like, Armand, I think you were saying, like, your unpopular opinion is that you would rather, that you enjoy J. Cole's verse, or J. Cole's Black Friday joint more than Kendrick's. My unpopular opinion is that I would much rather prefer a Black Hippie album than a J. Cole Kendrick.
Yeah.
Together, we can say whatever.
I'm not mad at that.
Like, I would, that's what I would, that's like, because when we talk about the ongoing mythologies and lores that have existed around TDE and Kendrick and J. Cole since the beginning of time, like, they've been talking about them getting together for this for a long time. There's been terrible Photoshop covers that have been released, right?
T-shirts.
Saying that this is the this is the album cover, this is blah, 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 blah. But, like, my myth that I hold on to is getting Absol Q, J-Rock, and Kendrick all in the studio together, put together a project, because I just think that would be amazing. For me, I would like to see all of those styles come together.
Could we sub in Isaiah for J-Rock? I don't really know.
No. Because
he's going to be eating off that Money Tree's verse for the rest of his life. Like,
when's the last time you listened to J-Rock's album, like, since it came out?
I haven't.
Can you do that? We can have a personal offline conversation.
I keep hearing that, man. Like, his album's really good.
Like, I can still say there's one song objectively that's like, no, that's not good. But, like, the rest of it, like, once you detach your mind of what you think this is supposed to be and you just listen to it for what it is, it's a pretty impressive record, honestly. So.
And they switch out. Can, like, Jhené Aiko and J-Rock kind of, like, happen? I was just doing that because I saw the seriousness of your face. I'm sorry, man.
Okay.
So can I, like, film video geek out on you guys for saying, because what I know to be true is we can debate J. Cole and Kendrick and them, but they both do video extremely well. Mm-hmm. And GOMD was an amazing video last year. Maybe one of the best. I mean, and Kendrick with I and All Right. If these two do a mixtape and then they make a video, what I can guarantee is that video will be like a video to watch and probably like set a trend on some sort of dimension. So,
the Thriller album.
I mean,
hey, we didn't talk about God is Gangsta, did we, on this show?
No, y'all didn't. No, y'all didn't.
So that was what? That was
a week and a half
for
ago.
Sale.
Yeah.
You and something else, right?
Yes, there's a third song. Because it's 7 minutes, right?
Eight minutes. It's long. I didn't know if
so
I
you loved it, Doc.
I did not need a video for you. That is a
I don't know anybody who's like, Yo, you son.
Let me say it. Yo, you son, I mess with you.
Son.
Like, I'm that one.
It was emotionally impressive the first couple times I heard it, but I can't, like, I don't need to go there.
Yeah. Now, that's too heavy for me.
Okay.
Never. It's too much.
I don't know. It's so important, one, to the narrative of the album, which that's not my main thrust behind why I like it, but that emotional charge part, like, that to me, that still resonates with me on replay. Him having a conversation with Pac doesn't, like, after the fifth, I'm good. I never need to hear you fumble through.
The ground will swallow the evil.
Yo, it's kind of like me being like, son, like Prodigy, you, like, you know what I mean? Like, what was you thinking? Like, no, I don't need to hear him get his Charlie Rose on. Like, it was not that impressive in that way. But you, to me, it works really well following what intuition, is that what it hurt? Institutionalized, rather, is that what we're talking about?
These walls.
And, yeah, I don't know. I just think it's such an important part. If we're talking about things that could be skipped on the record, then some of the him talking in the voice of Lucy, maybe, like, those, like, a little interlude, like, some of those would be skipped before YouTube. But that's my...
Hey, Doc, can you give your hot take on Kendrick? Because I think I saw you... Is this the one that you were kind of tweeting about a few days ago?
I don't even remember. What did I tweet about Kendrick?
That's something about you feel like people are going to give all this praise to Pimp a Butterfly. Good Lord. Say that five times fast. They're going to give all this praise to this album, but then it's sort of going to devalue the importance and just how great Good Kid, M.A.A.d City was.
Yeah, no, it's really just, you know, once we have a little bit of time separated from it, people will look at the Grammy nominations and however many Grammy awards he ends up winning, and they're gonna look at, oh, it was critically acclaimed, and like 5-10 years from now, people are gonna be like, wow, it's Pimp a Butterfly. You know, that was his real like classic. And it's like, well, all right, let's just pause a minute, because Good Kid, Mad City is probably the best debut rap album, at the very least, since College Dropout, and arguably since even before that. Like, and I'm guilty of this in the show. I think anybody who is really into music can be guilty of this sometimes, where you'll rush to praise something and then you sort of discount something else because you need to elevate. You're like, oh, well, compared to this, it was that. And it's like, well, Good Kid, Mad City, yes, it's very different than To Pimp a Butterfly, but it's fantastic. And I know calling it a debut is a stretch because obviously he had projects before, but the debut major label album with a high degree of difficulty in terms of how it told the story out of order, which, I mean, I'm just revisiting what we said when we reviewed that album a couple years back, but so many rappers are like, no, man, this is the story of the album, and it never holds up. And if it does, it holds up for like four songs, and then they completely abandon it, and then maybe they come back to it at the end. But this had not only a cohesive story, but the fact that it was told out of sequence, but it all still made sense, is such a crazy thing to attempt. And then, oh, by the way, the songs are great. Like,
right.
Just because it didn't win Grammys, I can already see it happening. Revisionist history in hip hop is really funny. Like, there are a lot of people who will tell you that, of course, they knew that Reasonable Doubt was a classic, when really, in the summer of 96, there were a lot of people who didn't really care about it.
We're just talking about it today. Yep.
Right.
Four mics. Right. Typical mafioso rap.
Yep. Right.
But I'd also add this to your point. I don't know. I mean, I think we're all very close to hip hop, so we have that. We see its flaws like a little bit larger, but that revisionism happens often, right? Because I think about even, you know, what you're talking about essentially is like in film, right? Where there are, you know, the movies that win the best picture, but don't necessarily get, they get rewarded because they're important, but the rewatch value, like do you go back, when's the last time you heard someone go, man, The English Patient, man, that was an amazing, like that's my go-to movie that I come to. No one's not saying that it's not technically beautiful, right? Or that it's not an engaging story, but there are so many there are movies that come out that have a greater impact on the zeitgeist, right, of the culture, and but don't get rewarded that way in their time. And as a result, you know, when you look back at the stats of it, you go, well, best Oscar for that, best picture was this, you know what I mean? And so I could see that happening, but I think that just requires people with sober minds to constantly be like, well, no, this joint, like, what Good Kid, Mad City's impact was nuts. Like, when you think about, from the perspective of, it was, I think it cleared, it so cleared the bar so much higher than was expected. I can't think of anyone who came out the gate and delivered that well. Like, yeah, I mean, maybe you would say College Dropout, but I would argue College Dropout, for as impactful as it was and as good as it was, like, there's no fat on Good Kid, Mad City.
No, I'll just say I think it's the best debut since Illmatic.
Yeah. I know you guys don't like Represent. Is that right? Which one don't you like on Illmatic?
One time for your mind.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's tough because with 10 songs, you kind of.
Yeah.
But anyway,
still unreal.
But this is predictions.
Yeah, I was gonna say we could talk a lot about Kendrick. So let's see. I got a whole list of people who are theoretically coming out with stuff this year. So we could start with somebody who we haven't talked yet about on the podcast, but who's almost certainly got an album coming out this year, and that's Drake. So
yeah,
Views from the Six should be coming out this year. Anybody have a? I mean, is anybody, you know, anybody have any particular expectations? You think it'll just be another Drake project? You think it'll be something different?
I mean, I think it's going to be good. I'm excited about it. And I'm also dreading every Christian hip hop album that tries to mimic it after. So.
Oh, God. Views from the War Room.
I was just trying to figure out what I could throw in for Views from the Pew.
Views from the Pew.
Views from the Pew. Views
from John 6, right? Or something like that.
Views from John
6. Views from the upper room.
Yeah, it's gonna be your Baptist rappers. Baptist rappers. And I'm hungry.
All right, so Dan, you're looking forward to it. Adan?
I'll be very honest. I think the last time I was on this podcast, I'm really Drake agnostic. Like, I listen to whatever he puts out, but I'm never like, oh, this, like, I'm really looking forward to this next project from Drake. I can say that I heard his work in 2015, which we could say maybe what he's coming out with will not resemble that. If that's the case, I'm likely going to like it more, because I was not a fan at all of, oh, if you're reading this through a, and What a Time to Be Alive. So, so as long as there's an 8 p.m. in Poughkeepsie, you know what I mean? One of those records, like, I'll probably find something on there that I really mess with. So I don't know, but I'll listen to it. I'll check it out, but I can't say I'm like really interested.
JP?
Yeah, man. I think with Drake, man, I just want something in his lifestyle to change. I don't know if he needs to get in touch with his Jewish heritage or whatever needs to happen. I just want something different, man. I just want no more clubs, no more chicks, no more crying about the girls you don't have. Like, I just, to me, he's like the Drake hole that everybody except that. Well, I mean,
that's like saying you want Jay-Z to be poor. Like,
you're right, man. But I'm like, how long has he been writing this stuff, man? It's just like, why J. Cole is dead to me. It's like, bro, like, hey, man, find a woman you can respect. You know, I'm like, Drake, hey, get you a girlfriend that you can trust. Maybe it's Serena. Maybe she'll do it for you. I don't know. But I just can't, like, I can't do any more, like, broken hearts and sadness. And I don't know.
So you're not looking forward to Drake, is what you're saying?
I'm hoping that there is some type of, like, maybe he doesn't go to South Africa like Kendrick and have a, you know, epiphany. But, like, something needs to happen for him, man. Like, I need an earthquake in Toronto where he, you know, has some type of reflection on life. Like, something has to happen.
What would different. Be Drake's South Africa? Would, like, Abu, that, like, would that be, what would be his place where, like, I go and I'm like, man, I rethink everything.
I don't know. Maybe he gets kidnapped by terrorists or something. It has to be some life-changing event, like something really like life or death, like something I see the bigger picture. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just don't know what that is.
Armand?
This has to be his classic album.
Has to be.
Yeah, this has to be. I think that until Quentin Miller-Gate popped off, he was that guy who did everything right. He really wants to be on that Mount Rushmore of MCs. I think, you know, emo aside, like, he really takes his rappity rap seriously. And I think he wants to be considered a top tier MC. So he did everything right, except he didn't have that one consensus of a classic album. Most people say Take Care, but it's not across the board like an Illmatic, like a Good Kid, Mad City. So I think that when he was beginning this album, working on it, he had that sort of burden on him. Now that everything has happened, I think this album is going to be even, like, that goal is going to be overly stated, that this is, I am that one guy. And, like, nobody's touching me, especially given the year that Kendrick is having as well. I think that that's motivating him as well. They're not as close as they were a few years ago when they were sort of trading barbs at each other. They've just gone to two different stratospheres. I think they're 1A and 1B, and they're both great for different reasons. But I think Drake wants to be, like, the guy. He wants to be the only option. So I feel like he's going into the album with that sort of mindset. He got all of the, you know, they say when you're sick, you kind of got to, like, throw everything up and get everything. Yeah, sweat it out, get it out of your system, and then, you know, begin eating with a clear palate. I think that's What a Time to Be Alive was sort of like a cash grab, a little moment thing. But I think that's what, If You're Reading This, It's Too Late was. I think it was, let me get these records out. They're good, but they're not good enough to be the album. And now it's like, all right, now I can create with a clear slate. What are we doing? And I think that's what he wants to happen. Now, will it happen? I'm not sure. As a Drake fan, I hope so. But I think that if this isn't the album, he's like, he's no longer in that upper echelon conversation. If the ghostwriting didn't like do it, this album not being absolutely incredible will completely take him off that tier. He'll always be like one of the most popular artists, but he'll never be considered elite if this album doesn't hit.
Yeah, I'm curious if it's even possible. I mean, I like Drake a lot, but in an era where Kendrick is going to win every national championship, like
the Alabama.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, is it even possible for him to like claim that moment to be the greatest of 2016?
I think, I mean, you can talk about a hot take. I think Drake is, how do I put this? I think he is more capable than Kendrick. Kendrick is an incredible rapper, but he couldn't in his life make Hotline Bling, which is a dope pop record. It is. He couldn't in his, like, that's just not even in his wheelhouse.
I'm just laughing because I'm imagining, like, Kendrick Hotline Bling in, like, a different voice.
Right.
Be like the nee-nee-nee-nee voice.
Right. So it doesn't mean that he's a better writer or anything like that, but he is capable of things that Kendrick is not. Now, the question is, can he put it all together? I have no idea. I think that he, whether or not this is his classic, I'm not sure. I think he'll have more chances because even though the ghostwriting thing happened, nobody executes better than Drake's team. Contrary to whatever Kanye does lately, where it seems like even Real Friends, I mean, the rollout to that was just a complete, like, oh, this is the real version. Oh, this is not the version. Links dying, people tweeting, articles being written, then links don't work. Like, that never happens to Drake. Even the ghostwriting thing, he turned it into a Grammy nomination. Back to Back is nominated for a Grammy, which has to be one of the weirdest things you could possibly imagine. So I think he'll still have chances. I feel like nothing was the same.
So is this his Teflon Don? Is that what record?
Yeah.
What this is to him? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, because to me, I mean, we have So Far Gone. Like,
but
like totally different Drake's though.
It is, but I don't know. It'd be like if we were still, I don't know. It would have been like if, well, it's not really a good example, but I don't know. Like, he's put out classic work. Like, you're right. It's been a while since he has put it all together on one project.
And what I'm saying about the Teflon Don is that was after the CL.
Oh, sure, tribute. Sure.
So you understand what I'm saying? It's like with all of that going on, can you quiet out? You know, silence out all of that and then just deliver an undeniable product in a way that makes someone go, yo, even though he was a, you know, like a CO, like, this is so jamming. I can't, you know what I mean? I can't even, I'm impervious to those rumors. I'm impervious to whatever. Like, that's kind of where I was going with that. Like, I'm not saying that Drake doesn't have, I mean, I'm not someone who's like, So Far Gone is this amazing classic, but I am like, I still feel like it was his most, I don't know. Let me stop talking. That's a lot. I was about to say something I didn't agree with, so let me just stop.
But what does he have to tangibly do? Because he's, I mean, pop, he has the pop records. He can, you know, articulate himself well, and he can ride the pocket. But, like, what, I mean, what can he do? Like, if it's not content, then it's just, hey, I enjoy it. Like, it's fun.
What does a classic Drake record look like? And I'm not saying there isn't one.
Are you talking about like a classic Drake record in terms of an album? What does the classic Drake album sound like?
Yeah, as a full project, what does that look like?
You know, I don't know. And having this conversation reminds me of a conversation that Doc and I had about Beyonce a couple years ago, where she did all these things, but the comparisons when they would say that she's the Michael Jackson of this generation, it was like, no, because Michael Jackson had Off the Wall, Thriller, and Bad. And Dangerous had records. And you know what I'm saying? So it was like, up until this last Beyonce album, which was finally like her first great album, though I thought Dangerously in Love was dope too. It's sort of the same vein, right? Because it's like her first, you can compare Dangerously in Love to So Far Gone. The only difference is that, you know, one of them was in retail. It's a mixtape. So now that Beyonce had evolved so much into a completely different artist, same with Drake. So Far Gone, Drake, he's at a completely different place than he was when So Far Gone came out. Now we need another body of work to represent the complete evolution of Aubrey Drake Grant. And I think that's what this album has to be. Otherwise, like Teflon Don. I think the CO comparison is good as well. But I also remember that he was riding the BM, you know, Deep in the Rap got a lot of critical praise. Mm-hmm. BMF was the biggest record on the street. He had all these mixtape records. He had a lot of momentum. So it was like, all right, harness all that momentum and make a great project. Right. And people look fondly on Teflon Don, but when it first came out, we were like, yeah, this is good, but it's not it. And then God Forgives I Don't was, again, another dope project, but it wasn't what it could have been or what people wanted it to be. I think Rich Forever was that, but that's a completely different conversation. Mm-hmm. So
that's
now Ross is just a B-plus player for the rest of his career, and anything that he does just isn't going to matter.
That's interesting, because I think for me, Teflon Don was where I was like, oh, like, I completely concede everything you said leading up to the run that he was on getting up to that point. But I was like, those records really hit me in a way where I was like, oh, like I, in the midst of the rumors, this or that. And to some degree, we could also say maybe, although it's a different, their careers up to this point are a little different, but I would say that, Dark Twisted Fantasy, right, did something similar in that way where, up to that point, people were largely discounting, yo, he just got off, he did 808s and Heartbreaks. Like, yo, Kanye ain't even rapping no more. Like, what is, you know what I'm saying? It was a lot of like, can he come back from, you know, the president calling him a jackass to, you know, interrupting Taylor Swift, like all of this stuff, right? And he delivered. I think you're less fond of the record than maybe me, but
I understand I'm in the minority on that. That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, that's all I'm saying about Drake. I think that I can say that whatever the project is, I hope it's closer in terms of like, length to Nothing Was the Same. Cause that was, I enjoyed the duration, the full duration of that album much more. Take Care was so bloated to me. It was just long, felt like a long record to me that I was like, when I heard Nothing Was the Same, I just felt like, I was like, man, this is the perfect amount of Drake on an album to me. Now, would I want some better records there? Yes. But that's what I would hope for out of a classic record from Drake, personally.
Okay. Anybody else want to say anything about Drake, or you want to talk about some other people?
Let's talk about some other people.
This is one, I want to talk about somebody we've alluded to a couple times. I don't know if it's confirmed he's got a project, but it feels like it's time. Is Jay-Z releasing an album this year?
Oh, I was thinking about that.
Do we want Jay-Z to release an album this year?
If he doesn't release an album, he's definitely like selling his stake in Tidal and writing a song about it. And people are going to be like, oh, he's such a shrewd businessman.
New rules. Yeah. Tidal, what a dumb idea that was, huh?
Oh, stop.
Hey, you called it.
It wasn't a dumb idea. It just didn't work.
Lots of money gone.
Does anybody want to see an album from Jay-Z?
Yeah, no. That's a good question. Oh, that's so sad, isn't it?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Nah.
I'll listen to some
I don't. I think, you know, I think Hakeem Olajuwon is one of the greatest singers I've ever seen play. Do I want to see him play in 2015 after 2016? Absolutely not.
That's such a great point.
So is he at Hakeem on the Raptors stage right now?
He was Hakeem on the Raptors when Magna Carta came out.
Oh, geez.
Now he's just like he's collecting his accolades. Like, you know, he's coming back to Houston. Yeah.
See, maybe he could be like Hakeem. He could teach, you know, much like Hakeem kind of teaches players some low post moves in the offseason. He could, you know, he could teach a young rapper a couple, you know, a couple tricks.
Yeah.
I think Hakeem isn't he Dwight Howard's offensive coach?
Yeah, it shows you. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm still going to listen to it. That's what I know. Like, if Jay-Z puts out a record, I'm still going to listen to it.
Absolutely.
If it's on Tidal, though, will you listen to it? Because if he exclusively puts it out on Tidal, then we're all screwed. Because no.
Well, the thing about Tidal is that they'll have exclusive content for like 20 minutes, and then they'll release it everywhere. Just like not very smart. Like, hey, tune in to the Jeezy did a concert for TM 101, and it was like available immediately after it was over. And you didn't even for the B sides concert, you didn't even have to sign up for a Tidal account. You just watch it.
Yeah, I think I think the Jay ego would get ahead of like the title businessman part. He'd be like, no, I just want more people to hear me. Like, this is going to hit. Because even like, yeah, him banking on title isn't the same as what Dre putting Compton behind, like only on Apple products at that point, which we didn't talk. Did y'all talk about the Dre leak, Dr. Dre pharmacy song with T.I. that he put out?
Crickets. No, we haven't talked. The T.I. record was pretty bad. What was the other record though?
I don't remember.
There was another one that sounded much more like what I would consider like a vintage sort of late era Dre record to sound like. It sounded good.
Gotcha.
Steve.
So is that how bad it is for Jay-Z? We'd rather talk about Dre and T.I.'s bad
albums. No, I don't know.
You're right. I think it'll have to be on title. Like if it's not only on title, I mean, could you think of a more like damning endorsement of your own streaming service? It's like, well, you could listen to it on title, or like it's going to be on title.
You can go back to Samsung and do the whole it's platinum because they bought 5 million.
I was just trying to think how he could try to work something else in where it's like, oh, title bought copies for everybody. It's like, okay, hold on.
That is, I don't know how many people have Spotify though. Because did you guys see that like all of his albums have come back to Spotify though? Like,
did Reasonable Doubt come back?
Of course not, because that's the only one that he's.
That's the only one.
Well, yeah.
Because the other Jay albums, they're on, like, I have Spotify and Apple Music, and I think they're all on both of them except for Reasonable Doubt.
Right, but they were all I can't speak for Apple Music, but they were all removed from Spotify.
Oh, wow.
Then he went to Tidal. When Tidal, rolled out, it was like, all of that's going to be gone. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, a few months have gone by, and they're back. Yeah.
See, the thing is, he's got to decide if he wants to keep Tidal or not, because if he's going to record music, he's going to have a lot of Tidal shout-outs.
Yes.
And it's hard to go back and erase those. Yeah, so no one's really excited about a JL. I mean, we'd all listen probably, but no one's expecting anything great, right? He's done, right? For the most part?
Nah, I don't think he's done. I think he's just gonna be what he always is, an artist. He's the most influential artist, one of the greatest MCs ever, absolutely. But Jay, as we've talked about on the show, a Jay album that isn't Blueprint, Reasonable Doubt, American Gangster, some really, really dope songs, some really whack songs, and a bunch of all right songs. A couple of catchphrases, hashtags, slick talk, and like that's what you're going to get. I think that's just what Jay-Z is, and like we just have to accept that.
Okay. Anybody else want to say anything about Jay?
Yes and no. No.
We could talk about somebody else who claims that he's releasing his last music ever this year.
Who?
That would be Lupe Fiasco.
No, I'm not.
Oh, no. Nobody cares?
I care.
Okay. He's releasing an album trilogy?
What's a
trilogy?
I'm about Lupe. I'm about Lupe, despite all of the things that make it hard to be about Lupe.
Did you like his last album?
Tetsuo or the Pure?
Yeah.
The Fahrenheit. You know, the Feral Height. PBMS with Tetsuo and you. I liked, there's some songs that I love as a whole. I listened to it a lot throughout January and February. And then, cause I think it came out at the beginning of 2015. And then, I didn't really go back to it, honestly. So
my wife doesn't really mess with him.
Okay.
But we were driving, I think when that dropped or it was on Amazon Prime or something like that. And she was like, this dude sounds like an educated Lil Wayne. Like, I feel like I should know what he's talking about, but it's just so far over my head. Like, I don't know if he makes sense and I'm missing it or what's going on. So I was like, well, just that settles it for me. Like, I'm done.
Lupe always struck me as fake smart. Like,
parts of that, yeah.
There's a lot of words being used, but there's actually, it's like, no. That's actually kind of, sometimes, I mean, not to circle back to him, but like, sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes when Kendrick gets going, like, I really just want to put on my political science degree hat and just be like, well, actually, you know, with Lupe, I get a lot of that too.
Oh, that was good.
Well, actually, yeah, we should just call plead the fourth. Well, actually, because that's
that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Well, actually,
yeah, forget your clever marketing. Just
My only real thoughts about Lupe putting out new music is I think out of those three projects, there's one that's supposed to be just produced by Soundtrack. That's the one I'd be interested in. Like, I really care about, it's really about what he raps on. Like, and I just haven't loved the majority of the production he's chosen to rock with for a long time. But lyrically, he's still pretty freaking amazing.
So you understand him. You get what he's saying. I'm not trying to be funny. I am, but I'm not. You know,
no,
I respect him, but, you. Yeah. I respect your intelligence. So, so I'm saying, like, I'm missing you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to do, bro.
I think there's two parts of it. There's parts of it where I'm like, yes, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. I absolutely get that. Okay. There's parts of it where I'm like, this makes no sense to me, right? But there's also just the exercise of things that, like, rap to me isn't, there's rappers that I go to where I don't look for deep meaning out of. Like, MF Doom doesn't always have meaning in what's in the words he's putting together sometimes. And there's parts of that that I can listen to as well, too. But yeah, no, I completely understand the criticism, though, to be like, it's the Badu one on Mama's Gun, where she's like, what good do your words do if they don't understand you? Like, I completely understand.
Yep. Yeah, his intelligence or his wit is very self-servant. Mm-hmm. Self-servant.
Yeah.
You know, it's not any other artist who really, like, I have to communicate it in this way. It's pretty much like, look how smart I am, no matter how right or valid his point is, the snobbiness of it.
Very true.
I have a question. If you could have an album from one artist, so we can try to get positive, since none of us are excited about music, apparently, in 2016.
I got a whole bunch more people I want to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. Keep going. Where are you going with that?
No, yeah.
Keep going, Dan.
If you could ask for an album from an artist in 2016, who would that be? Armand, just go.
The group that I want to come out with an album with next year is coming out with an album next year, and that's King. So I'm good.
I was hoping you were going to say when you said group. I was hoping you were going to say TGT.
No, that's over. That's over. I also want to hear an album from Nas. I just, I don't know if anybody listened to his interview, on Rap Radar's podcast with his manager. I really feel like Nas is in a space to make another dope album. So I'm just curious to hear Nas in 2016. I think it's time for him to come out and say something else. Was he on your list, Doc?
No, I forgot about Nas.
He should have been.
Mm. Yeah.
He scolded you from Ohio. He said, shut up.
That'll teach him. Yeah, that'll get him on my side.
Who else was on the list, Doc?
Oh, no. Are we going to – anybody else want to take a shot at Dan's question?
I mean, I'll throw my answer out there. I really want a new album from Childish Gambino. That's what I'm really hoping for. His album in 2014, it was a choir. I couldn't pronounce it. I think that's how you pronounce it. But I was disappointed with it.
I like some stuff he had on there.
I guess my expectations would have. I think I went in super high. And so anyway, I'm looking for. He's been doing acting. He kind of tries to do that like triple threat. He was in The Martian. And so we'll see. I hope 2016 has music from Donald Glover.
I want, and this is doesn't even exist in the real world, but an educated MJG and 8-Ball album. Like, I want MJG, 8-Ball to come up with a Memphis, like, yo, man, we have been in a serious place for the last decade or however long it's been, and this is what we want to offer you. You
like,
know what I'm saying?
Space pimping with content.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, the Fat Mac, MJG, 8-Ball, like, I want that. You know, I feel like they... No, you know what? Matter of fact, co-pimping. This is something I argue with people all the time. Do or Die, were ahead of their time, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, the stuff that they were doing when they were out, like, if they were a few years later, and they're probably, 60 years old by now, but, like, something from, like, MJG, 8-Ball, or Do or Die, man, those two guys, I feel like
That's funny.
I would be ready for those guys.
That's what's up. That's me. I respect it. As a Midwesterner, okay. I completely, deeply respect Twista, Do or Die, all of it. Johnny P, I was about to throw him out there. Yeah. Yes. So for me, right, who I'd like to see put out a project, which he has not said he is, but I know he's working, would be Brother Ali. Who is scheduled to, it's quiet as kept. So he came out, his last record, Morning in America, came out in 2012, the same year that Good Kid, Mad City came out, and the same year that follows up the other artists that I would like to see, that I know they're coming out with something. So Killer Mike's rap album came out in 2012. Run the Jewels 3, I'm looking forward to that this year, which I think is scheduled to come out as well. So those would be my two. But yes, of course, I want to see King, which I think it's February that drops, right?
February 5th, and I just got tickets to see them on the 9th. So
yeah, they're here at the Vinyl. They're here at Vinyl on, I think, late February. So I will be in the building. But yes, that's me, man, Brother Ali and Run the Jewels.
Do y'all mess with West Coast cats like Pac Div and like some of that stuff?
Armand and I used to carry the flag for Pac Div for a long time.
Pac Div, like, that's like,
they just never put it together.
Yeah.
What's
they were ahead of their time too.
I
feel like Pac Div was also part of that, like, and correct, y'all might know better about the timeline of this, but like that MySpace wave of in particular MySpace, because I feel like another, like Blue, Below the Heavens was also heavily featured as like a MySpace featured artist. Mm-hmm. And it was like right on that down cusp of before it ended for MySpace. But between those, there was a group called, I think Fresh Digress or whatever, that featured, it was a black dude and a white dude. It was a duo. But they were also West Coast or whatever. And yeah, it's crazy. The dude out of that group has gone on to be an A&R for Interscope and put a lot of people behind the scenes together that you would not imagine. So it's just crazy. Second life to the rappers. But yeah, active.
Yeah. I'm also looking for this dude named Don Bean is going to be dropping a project sometime soon.
Yeah.
It's trash.
I'm just putting it out there for the interwebs.
Yeah.
The only correct answer to this is whatever Armand ends up putting out, obviously.
Sure.
No, I'm trying to think. I have some non-hip hop things I'd like to hear, but from hip hop, I would honestly, No, actually, you know what I want to hear? I want to hear another NERD record.
Yes.
Even if they need to call in Tyler to handle half the production now, because he basically makes NERD music, I'm fine with that. But I just want to hear Pharrell over that.
Yeah, agreed.
So somebody who we know has an album coming out soon, because he just put out the Prelude, is Pusha T. Anybody anticipating King Push?
I was a lot more before hearing the Prelude, Prologue.
Yeah. Not a fan?
If he would have just said like, hey, King Push is coming, I'd have been all ears. Like getting this beforehand, it made it like, I don't know, it dulled him a little bit to me. Like he actually has more work to do now than he would have if he wouldn't have put this out for me. So, but I'm tepidly looking forward to it. Yes.
Anybody else? For me, if this is the project where we get to hear whatever he was working on with Pharrell, then yeah, because anytime Pharrell gives stuff to Pusha, there's going to be at least a couple things that you've never heard before.
He has the capability to do great things, I think. I just don't know what it would take to bring that out.
All right, I thought we'd get a lot more conversation about Pusha. All right,
I think that Prelude really like didn't necessarily sour a lot of people to it, but we were like,
talking sports analogies. You kind of wonder if he's Emmitt Smith on the Cardinals at this point in time.
Oh, wow.
No. Oh, no. If Push is, that means he's done. I don't want to hear that.
Then,
I mean, he's still getting record. I mean, he's still padding those stats and turning some heads, but.
Oh, no. Don't say it.
He might be Joe Johnson the year after he got his max deal.
Oh, okay. No.
He's just not quite as motivated. See, to me, it's like, here's an interesting question. What is the age? And obviously, this doesn't apply to all artists because we have some older artists that are legendary. But like, he's 38, if I'm not mistaken. What's the age that like hip hop artists get to where it's like, man, you need to like be an A&R. You need to start pouring into some younger folks and kind of give back to the music.
You know what it is? I actually, and we've talked about this in the show before. I don't know if it's a certain age. I think it has more to do, like, whenever the sound shifts and all of a sudden you can't handle whatever the new thing is. And I feel like it's actually been a little while. Like, we've been at this slower BPM for a while.
Yeah.
But there will be a lot of rappers who, whenever the next shift in sound happens, they'll be in trouble.
Everybody from Atlanta except Press Company.
I was just gonna say that I agree with less of the actual age. I just think thinking of it in terms of sounds is probably wise. That like I think of it like I just think about it like regardless of the age, the class that you kind of get looped into, right? Because like Pusha has of course the Clips era, right? And then he has the Re-Up Gang scenario, but like he's mentioned in the Control verse with Ken, you know, that Kendrick throws out. Like, he's looped with Tyler and all of these other artists who you're like, yo, you're 10, 12, 15 years older than these people.
Right.
But he is in a phase where it's like Pusha T as an entity is a fairly new artist. And so, so the idea of him being 38 is kind of like somewhat inconsequential in that aspect of it. And then I just look at sometimes people just their peak is their peak or their time is their time. Like Killer Mike is 41 and is just not like it's really all coming together for him as an artist. And LP as well is 41 too. So like I just think it kind of depends on where you're at and what the wave is, I guess.
No, I think that speaks to what our mom was saying with motivation. I mean, maybe he just got his max deal and I also the King thing. Just like,
oh, that bothers
like
you.
Just the TI-ness is just
that bothers you.
Just I'm just turning it off.
But does he have any gas in the tank? And I think that's the thing when it comes to, you know, sound changing and different things. And I think that's what happened to Jay. I just think he couldn't keep up with sound. And it's just like, what does Pusha T have left in the tank? It's like not necessarily reputation precedes him, but it's more like name precedes him. So you still get mentioned that people like, I'm waiting, I'm excited. They don't have that same, like, where's the old Kanye connotation? Nobody says, where's the old Pusha T? But it's just like, man, people still feel like he has something. I just don't know what that is. Like, what does he have? Is it the, I don't know, so it's not swag anymore, it's dad. Like, what does he have? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to propel him into, like, oh, man, I'm about to go to a Pusha T concert. Or I can't wait for the album to drop because his cadence or the pocket. You know, whatever that he can do. Right. What is it? You know what I mean?
What's interesting is like I mean I was a Pusha T stan for the longest time, and I had sort of written off that we would actually get a Pusha T solo. Like, there was a long period of time where it was just like, well, you know, maybe he signed to Kanye and who knows. And then we actually got a really good Pusha album. Like, that was to me it's almost like a bonus. It's like like he's been you know,
there's still life in here.
Right. I mean, there's such a huge amount of time between something like even like Hell Hath No Fury, which I think is incredible, and his first album, which is pretty good. And for that span of time, like, it's like, okay, you know what? That's a nice bonus. I wasn't expecting that. Everything from here on out, it's kind of gravy. But I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, I want to look to the Prelude album and be like, oh, that's not a good sign. On the other hand, and I think we can all blame Drake for this, like, no one's going to give – not no one. Fewer and fewer people are just going to put out – free stuff on like SoundCloud or free mixtapes anymore. Like, they're gonna put them up for at least for streaming on iTunes and Spotify, because it'd be silly not to. Like, you're throwing away money, right? Like, it used to be, and Ross is still like the king of this. Like Ross will put out tracks on SoundCloud and he puts out mixtapes and he puts out he's putting out his music still the old way. But a lot of artists now, they've got something, like they'll package whatever together and they'll get it on iTunes and Spotify and get something out of it, you know? So I really feel like I really am hoping, maybe I'm being naive. Like I think the Prelude was just like, here's the throwaway tracks.
I really regret listening to it. Like, I just wish I hadn't. Mm. Honestly, I just wish I hadn't listened to it and just kept in my mind, I'm going to wait for the proper album or whatever. Anybody waiting for that? Looking forward to the new Malice? No Malice, no? Nobody wants the No Malice, right? Okay.
He's still making music? Wait, is Malice that Molly Music guy?
Oh, God.
Causing problems on Clock Radio speakers.
Man, as we do.
Are those people's people?
Nah. Okay. I mean, but you know, 2 degrees of separation.
There's a
really another sports analogy. You guys watch Open Court on NBA TV? If you don't, it's like the greatest show ever. Basically, all of the great NBA players from our childhood sit like at a round table discussion. They discuss basketball. So one of the topics was, when did you know that it was time to retire? And Chris Webber tells the story of he got the ball right under the basket. So he caught an outlet pass. He's right under the basket. He's pump faking. And after about the fourth or fifth pump fake, he realizes that nobody was around him. He just couldn't get his legs up. That's how he knew it was over.
To answer
the question from earlier, how you know when, it's just when you ain't got it. You don't have it anymore. It's just, I think you know, but I think the crazy part is, I think a lot of artists, especially a lot of aspiring artists, don't have those conversations with themselves.
Hmm.
And they're always like, I just got to get this one, just this one last. I know I can. And you know, before you know it, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with being, you know, a 40-year-old rapper. I think there's something wrong with being a 40-year-old rapper. And like, it's like an aspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're still in the beginning phases. You haven't picked up any momentum. I'm not even saying like a record deal or anything like that. Like there's no momentum. There's no foundation. There's no fan base. You know, then in that case, just sit in your room and do music. If you've just reached a certain age and, you know, the world is passing you by, as Doc said, the sound is passing you by, then it's time to, you know, throw it up in the rafters, sell your equipment and put some money towards your kids' college or something.
Invest in that 529.
Who else is on your list, Doc? Because I actually wrote down like actual predictions, like things that I thought were going to happen.
Okay, well we can go right there. So basically, I predict that if Future puts out another project, and I hope that he decides to take like, I don't know, 18 months off. If he puts out another project, people will, the tide will turn on him. People will be like, all right, enough's enough.
He's definitely putting out another project.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm curious. Can you afford, can an artist like Future afford to take 18 months off?
No.
The problem is he's going to run it into the ground. So it's really just a question. He has to decide. And it's impossible for me to sit here and judge him because I'm telling him to, you know, leave money on the table. But it's like, Either he pauses and figures out his next move so that he doesn't run into the ground, or he just runs it into the ground and then he's really got to like figure something out because he is so oversaturated. There's only so much that that it can take.
You know who else took a long break off and it kind of messed up their career? Who? 2 Chainz.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Did he take a break or did he just put out an album that wasn't that good?
This last mixtape, before this Trapavelli trade, he scaled back for a little while.
Well, no, it's just because Boats 2 was terrible.
Yeah, Boats 2 was pretty bad.
It's 2014. Boats 2. It's me time.
Yep.
I just think like someone like Future, I just think 18 months might be long. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Like,
it's a long time. That's a long time.
Yeah. Because we're looking at the end of 2017. Future can't be quiet for that long. But at the same time, right, like, if he has a project in March, I mean, yikes. I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. But.
I just think that unless there's a great culture shift where guys like him can't exist, the trap will love. Not maybe the trap, but, like, strip clubs. I was about to say lowbrow people, but people that just...
I'm calling you Uncle JP. That's hey, it. Man. Uncle JP.
I was trying to figure out the right way to say that, man. I just figured it out. But, like, there's some element of our cultures, of our society, that will take him. You know what I'm saying? And allow him to exist. And I think until he makes some... Yeah. Until he makes some major snap, ooh, man, like, he's just... I mean, I was done a long time ago, but I just, you know what I mean? The fact that he's still going clearly shows you I don't know anything, but it's, I don't know unless his sound becomes old or something. You know what I mean? Like 2 Chainz, like y'all mentioned a perfect example, like 2 Chainz, man, he almost sealed his fate. You know what I mean? And Watch Out, you can't get any more simple than Watch Out. You know what I'm saying? Beat wise, content wise, you know what I mean? So if Future takes time off, I definitely think he'll be done, but I just don't think there should be any expectations for it to be any different than what he's already doing.
All right, Armand, you've got some predictions? Because I've got more stuff we want to talk about, but we should work some. I mean, do you got anything in particular you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Drake earlier. I think he takes an L this year.
Really?
I think something happens that sort of puts a dent in his armor, I think. I also think that the rumored SoundCloud merger with the major labels is really going to mess up the DIY independent game. I think that them and YouTube are really going to throw a wrench in a lot of, I think the independent artist model is going to change a lot in 2016. Word to Khaled. I think it changes a lot. I think it changes to the point to where it's like devastating and a lot of artists and DJs, don't recover. But that's I also depressing. Think that what it changes to, but I think that what it changes to, those who do sort of adapt to it, I think they flourish beyond belief.
See, I think so. I think if something happens with SoundCloud, I think something else will just take its place. I mean, like we history has sort of shown that. I don't know. There's, and I can't believe it's taken this long with SoundCloud, but like, you know, people will there something will exist that will allow people to upload music. It's gonna happen.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of music, Doc, I'm on the Twitter right now, and there is a new song with Omarion and Ghostface Killah.
Who?
I need ears on that ASAP. No, you're not finna who Omarion. That's what you're not gonna do. Maybach O does not get a who from you.
He is the king of the who.
Didn't Talib Kweli do a song with like what's his name from here? A couple. Years. No, I'm saying like a couple years back he did a song with what's it? Flockabelli. What's his boy's name?
Waka Flocka.
He did a song with Gucci Mane.
Was it Gucci? Yeah.
I don't do one with Gucci Mane.
And so I was. Is that that type of thing where it's like, how does this happen? Like, who?
I don't.
Is it a check? Is it?
Whose song is it? Let me ask that. Is it Omarion's or Ghostface? Omarion's that answers song. A lot. Interesting.
That's a weird.
That's
Omarion thought to himself, you know what? I'm calling up Ghostface. That's the move.
He got snubbed with that Grammy situation. He's still mad about that.
Oh, absolutely.
He's trying to find another collab that's the greatest of all time.
I am interested, like, is anybody, and I'll pass this mic to the person around, or is anybody looking forward to Macklemore's album that is pending?
I'll be the white guy in the room. I'm excited about it.
Listen, I'm the token white guy on Clock Radio Speakers, and let me show you how this... No, I'm just kidding. Keep going.
No. I mean, I think he's put out...
You guys going to try and out-white each other?
Here we go.
I'm sitting here wearing J. Crew and L.L. Bean slippers. No one is whiter than me. Sorry.
Jason Mraz.
Oh, I'm gonna get up here and play the guitar. Let's go.
No, I think Downtown, I mean, it was a mediocre song. The first song he put out with
Ed Sheeran
was mediocre, even though it got me in the feels. What he did in that first album to me as an independent artist was amazing, and I enjoyed the album. And so we can get into kind of whether he's kind of infringing on the culture. What's the phrase?
Culture vulture.
He's culture vulturing or whatever. We can get into all that, but I think this album is going to be terrible.
With all
wow.
So my prediction is
they build you up to break you down.
I'm saying
that Ryan Lewis is going to destroy. Like Ryan Lewis has built him to this point and made him who he is, and I think this was one of those situations where it would have been best where they needed to separate. Ryan Lewis needed to continue to produce for lots of different people, and Macklemore needed to work with other producers. And I think that their relationship it's going to cause their downfall, is my opinion and my prediction.
The romance takes you down.
Yeah, I mean, Downtown was a top 20 Billboard hit, but kind of was a bit of a, like, I don't want to say a flop, but I think it's pretty clear it didn't exactly, considering all the hype and the way they premiered it and the video and everything else, I don't think it did as well as they wanted. And I don't think it's an accident. They've been a little quiet, quick regroup. I mean, Downtown was just so overwrought and overproduced. But
Downtown was three songs, wasn't it? Like, it was like three songs crammed into one song.
I still haven't heard the song.
You've heard it.
I heard Melly Mel on it, and I heard the beat, and I've heard like the first maybe three or four bars of Macklemore's verse, but I haven't heard the whole song.
Yeah, I mean, Macklemore is like.
But I mean, like, you could call it a flop because, like, fam, you put out three of the biggest records the last 5 years. So it's like, and then you make it super duper hip hop. You include the Treacherous Three. You have that sample. You know, it was almost like one of those things that we talk. There it is. It's one of those things that we talk about, like with Nicki Minaj, where like Nicki, everybody is pushing her to go pop. So she goes pop. But then she's like, no, wait, I'm a rapper.
No, wait. And she goes, have you heard the whole song?
No,
it's not hip hop. Like, it's you don't understand. The song takes such a left turn. Right. I know what you're saying. But like at about like 30 seconds after you've listened to it, it decides to go completely different.
OK,
so I will say that, you know, we should probably shout out to Columbus, Ohio. Right. Because Alec Nally, who's the singer on that, is part of a legendary Columbus rock band that.
Yeah, that dude can sing, and I would really like to see him live. So I feel like he'd be incredible, do an incredible live show. But
it's incredible, actually.
Yeah, it the juxtaposition of him and how that song starts, like, there's just, it is way too much going on.
Well, to kind of echo what you said, Doc, he starts off being what we asked him to kind of be more of, that kind of the throwback hip hop, but it is so much of what exactly we did, like why we disregard him as an MC, because it's playing off this pop hip hop kind of idea. And I if you go back to kind of his like mixtapes and stuff like that, the dude is genuinely talented. For whatever reason, again, I'm just repeating myself, the Ryan Lewis thing was great for, his last album. Was it 10,000 Hours or no? That wasn't the name of the album. Whatever the name of the album was,
The Heist.
It was great for that album, but I think their relationship is much too close, and then things split up.
I don't know. So, without Ryan Lewis, like, would anybody care about Macklemore?
That's a good.
Maybe not. I will say that, like, I asked that question and then passed it to Dan because I know Dan and I had that conversation. It wasn't just because you're the only white person. Please weigh in on the other white artists that we're talking about. I legitimately say I liked The Heist before it. You know, this is a hipster thing to say, I like the Heist just because I like Macklemore. Like, I like The Heist when it came out. I loved the Versus EP. Then I loved the re-release, reissue of the Versus EP that they did before. I genuinely like that. Like a lot of his music. Do I like all of it? Absolutely not. But so when he came out with the kind of song about his child, like with the with Ed Sheeran, I was like, this is so whack to me. I wasn't a fan of it. Downtown came out. I actually liked it more than that Ed Sheeran song. But yes, it's completely, you're right, Doc, completely overwrought, like three songs crammed into one. I got a little bit of hope with the Leon Bridges collaboration live song that he did. I don't remember where that was. I think it was like the American Music Awards or something like that. I thought that was closer to maybe what we might want to see out of a Macklemore music or whatever. But I can't say that I have high hopes, and I would completely agree that they've gone somewhat quiet as a result of these songs maybe not doing what they anticipated them doing. Because I think they're setting out on tour right now, like for a good amount of time. It's just interesting if they're like, okay, we're going to go back to really trying to sell these songs in front of the people first and then seeing the follow-up release. You know, I don't know what the strategy is there, but it clearly that Downtown did not do what they thought it would.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Anybody else with Mr. Macklemore?
Nope.
Is there anybody, I guess this is a prediction of mine, but I'll open up to anybody else. Is there any artist out there who we think might really like take a next big step this year, or might even just blow up, who isn't currently sort of on that level? I'll tell you who I have in mind. I think it's Chance the Rapper.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think you're right.
I'm not always 100% on the work that he's done, but I think what he is doing along with Donnie Trump and the Social Experiment, he is in a sort of like his sound is in a place that nobody else is really operating in right now. There's clearly like he's clearly got some content, but he's also not trying to necessarily be that serious. And there's a playfulness to his sound that you don't typically sort of describe hip hop as having. So I think there's a chance that his next work is really like might be real big for him.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I think on the cusp of the one, I can see it because he's been developing and has a rabid fan base.
Yes.
Like they are. He came to the Tabernacle here in Atlanta, which Kendrick played as well. And I mean, sold out, but like to see it live, to see the reaction of his fans live, it's, I think he did two nights too, actually. Like mm-hmm. it's crazy. Like and that can be replicated. I think that is replicated across the country. I think he has a huge, huge groundswell of support that I think they're sometimes people are just like the whatever, things just align and people just want you to win. And I think that Chance has a lot of that behind him right now, where there are a lot of people who genuinely just want like him and what he represents. They want him to win. So I can see that this being a big year for him in that way.
Anybody else got anybody who off the top of their head might really take a big step forward this year?
I can't say a big step, but because I don't think they're known by a lot of people yet. But you guys familiar with Earth Gang?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see them making a lot more noise this year. So I think that just duo here out of Atlanta, they put out a project last year and they're doing some really interesting things with video and with their approach to, you know, I can just see them taking some larger steps. I think that where by the end of 2016, they I think might be more darlings, you know, more media darlings than, you know, Pitchfork looks and a lot more things that I think a lot more people will have heard of them by the end of this year.
They definitely have that like that Migos meets Chance the Rapper look. Which, I mean, to be honest, if I'm marketing these dudes, it's like I can sell this. I mean, it's just that they have that. I mean, you're describing Chance. I mean, when I say that, I'm actually thinking you're describing Chance. Mm-hmm. It's like that very kind of like that hipster hip hop vibe. And I've actually never listened to them, so I'm going to check them out after this.
Yeah, the only reason why I know them is because I think their one record, AWOL, was produced by two guys. One of them who I know is because he used to destroy me at beat battles locally when I would do that sort of thing. He's a dude from Connecticut who signed to Justice League. So I always see him on Twitter plugging it. So I'm always, every so often I'll be like, oh, what are they doing now? But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they did a little something.
Who you got on mind? Anybody? Or are you just hungry?
No.
Armand is crying right now because the Rams are moving to LA. It's official.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm
not. They're going back home.
Yeah, I mean,
I have a prediction.
I can have them. It's cool.
I have a prediction. Armand is going to have a hard year. Kanye's going to put out a terrible album, and the Rams are gone. Oh, there was one other thing that I was like, that Armand, you were sad about earlier. It's just going to be a hard year for you, man. I'm here for you. I want you to know that.
All right, I appreciate it, man.
Wow.
I think all of my, yeah, I'm not really sure. Like, I've just been sort of like revisiting everything that was on my list. I think that the artists that I like are going to continue to have great years. You know, like I'm weird. I'm getting to that phase where I'm like not really venturing outside of what I like to listen to. So it has to be like a really, really hard cosign. I'm not just like, oh, who is this? Play. You know, podcasts are going to continue to ruin my life and consume it because that's all I'm going to listen to while I'm at work. And that's pretty much it. I'm going to be an R&B head, and R&B is going to be great this year. And I think Floetry comes out with an album this year. And I think I think stuff like that is going to interest me and intrigue me. I feel like this King album is going to be amazing. I feel like, you know, like everybody who I liked last year is going to just continually do well. And I'm cool with that.
Is the East Coast going to rise again? Are they coming back? Is 2016 going to be East Coast here?
That's no.
Such a West Coast question. that's such a California question.
No.
They passed the torch a long time ago.
Yeah, no, they're, I've heard.
I love and I can drink. Let me know, new.
I've heard nothing from my brethren that has led me to believe that they're capable of doing anything more than watching for whatever trend comes out of Atlanta. So
I think friends with Clock Radio Speakers, somebody that I think had a really good 2015, but is still super slept on, is Tragic Hero.
Yep.
And someone that I think has the potential to kind of continue that momentum and have a big 2016. So he's one of my favorites and most slept on dudes. So.
Yep. Yep. He and Taylor are going to have a really interesting year this year. I can't say what I want to say about somebody else on the show. I'll tell y'all off air.
You and your secrets.
I know, man. Like, people tell me, you know, the burden that is my life because people tell me stuff. Listen, Adon told me something a few years ago that, like, still bothers me to this day.
Oh, God.
He said, oh, God. No, what she told me about Black Radio 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. That's
almost a life I had to fight. Yes. Yeah.
Ruined my life, yo.
Yeah.
I still think about that.
Yeah. But no, shout out to Tragic Hero. He's super dope. So we'd like to see what comes out of him this year.
So we talked about him earlier. We have not actually given an opinion. I don't think everybody's given an opinion. So we can close with this. What are people expecting from Swish? Mm-hmm. I guess I'll start.
Go ahead, Doc.
I think it'll be way more of a traditional album than people expect. I don't think we're going to get something as far out as Yeezus was. I mean, that Travis Scott song they did a video for and everything. I think that crash landed. I think Facts crash landed. And like Real Friends and the Snippet and No More Parties in LA, you know, those are very clearly they don't sound too far out of the Kanye West DNA. I think we're going to get something that is very identifiably a Kanye West album. And I'm already preemptively disappointed by that, but we'll see. Better or for worse, Kanye typically always tries something different.
Very true. Very true.
And I haven't heard that from him in a little while. So that's the biggest concern. But I think it'll be way more traditional than people expect. That's my Swish expectation.
Is that the new different?
Like, no, I think it's
yes.
That's right. That's the left turn. People are like, oh, he did Yeezus. What's he gonna do now? This song sounds like 808s. This song sounds like Dark Twisted Fantasy. This song, like, I think that's what we're going to get.
Sped up samples and bongos. I'm here for it.
I'm totally ready for the sped up samples and bongos. If only because I got a ton of beats sitting in my Dropbox that no one wants until Kanye brings that style back again. I'm all ready for it.
Yeah. That's as good a guess as any. I have no opinion, Swish, honestly, at this point.
I just, if he can find it within himself to just be honest about something, you know what I mean, and really give people an insight to him and feel like he's touchable via his music, I think that will help a lot. And that may cover up maybe poor production or some of the things that we can get on him about. Hope maybe not poor production, maybe like, this wasn't the most sonically amazing thing, but I feel connected. Because I think that's what everybody hopped on. Like, this dude somewhat felt like a real dude. You know what I mean? And I feel like this is like this guy from Chicago who's making moves. And I think that maybe it's the, you know, Jay-Z effect where I have to rap about walls and whatever else he raps about that nobody knows. But I feel like if he can bring that back down to earth with the idea of just talking about real life, man, and maybe not necessarily his real, you know, I don't know how to say it, but I don't really want to know about his real, real life, like decisions he makes to have the El Chapo t-shirts and all that stuff, like who allows him to come up with those things, but just really like an organic look at what his daily life looks like, what family life looks like for him, what being a dad looks like, with, you know, missing his mom, if he still misses his mom, like whatever that looks like, man, I would like to just connect with him on that level.
That might be it then. Armand, you got anything else you want to say?
Happy New Year, everybody.
So, I want to thank Adan, JP, and Dan from Fourth District for joining us. We've been talking about and thinking about doing sort of a collaborative show for a little while, and I'm glad we could have them on. Always, visit clockreadyspeakers.com for all of our past episodes. Of course, visit fourthdistrict.com to hear all the things that JP, Adan, and Dan are up to, along with all your episodes of Clock Radio Speakers. Do you guys want to plug anything else?
Nah, man. We love what Clock Radio Speakers is doing, and we appreciate it being part of the fourth kind of district universe and genuinely helping people curate their music and find stuff they haven't heard before. And that's what we're about, is making people think, making people expand their horizons and mature their palate. And you guys definitely do that, so we appreciate it.
And I thank you for letting me be a part of this, because really, like, honestly, like I said before, I really have to really stop giving stuff a pass. And it's bad, man. You know, you just have low expectations for life. It's like being in a bad marriage for a long time. You just don't expect your wife to be better, you know. And hip hop has become that wife where I just like, man, I have no expectations for you. Maybe you cook, maybe you won't. Maybe I'll be hungry, maybe you'll love me, maybe you won't. So this is really putting me in a position where I gotta really step it up and really be, you know, wouldn't be mindful, but I guess digest.
All right. I think that's probably it. Everybody, thank you for listening. This has been a very long side B, but hopefully y'all found it interesting. And we'll catch y'all in a little while.